Well, good morning, everybody. When you were looking through your worship folder this morning and you saw the title of the sermon, did any of you wonder what YHWH stood for? Yes. Well, what I thought that I would do for the next few weeks is present the different names of God that are used both in the Old and the New Testament. So there'll be 5 weeks of different names. And this week, I chose to use the most holy and personal name of God, which we pronounce as Yahweh. The direct translation of that is what is written as the title for the sermon. That's how you would see it as a transliteration in any literature or maybe even in some scriptures. But for the most part, our English translations of the Bible will use the word Lord all in capital letters. So when you see that, it is most likely a translation of Yahweh from the Old Testament. And when the Old Testament writers used Yahweh, they were speaking very holy terms of the Lord. And what was expected of the people is that they would take a moment to stop and think about the Lord as God, as Savior, as the one who rescued us, as the one who sustains us, as the one who gives us life. Just the other day, you know, most of the days I'm running around from one thing to the other like a lot of us, right? Got things to do, bills to pay, people to see, things to do, letters to write, you name it. We're all very busy people. And as I was coming home from here to where we lived, as I pulled into where we lived, there were two sandhill cranes right in the middle of the road. And you know how fast they walk. They go, "I will get there when I'm ready." And it you know, I just stopped for a minute, and I remember just taking a sigh, going, "Ugh, I didn't have to rush because I had to wait for the sandhill cranes to get from one side of the street to the other." And as I was thinking about that in writing this scripture, I was thinking, you know, when you hear the most holy name, Lord, the Lord God, however else it's expressed in the scriptures, it's an opportunity to just let out some air and just thank the Lord for his presence, for who he is, that he's in fact God. That when you listen to the news or read the news or see it on the internet, TV, or wherever, and you think the world's coming to an end, you just say, but the Lord's in charge. The Lord God is God, and he created us all, and he put this all together, and he's going to work it all out in his timing. And so the most holy name of God is what is used in our scripture today 5 times. There is one exception where the word Adonai is used, which we will talk about next week. But all the other 5 times, it's the Lord in capital letters. The prophet Isaiah was hearing from the people, was speaking from the Lord to the people Israel. The people Israel who had been told by Isaiah that they would be brought into captivity because of their sin, because of the neglect of the Lord, because they turned their hearts away from the Lord. And the Lord was angry because of sin. He was angry because there were other things that were distracting them from his presence. Isaiah expresses that in this scripture. But then also what is expressed in this scripture, that the Lord understands. The Lord knows that they have transgressed as we have transgressed. We're not perfect people, we know that. We've hurt ourselves, we've hurt others, but yet the Lord loves us, and he sent his son for us, and he gave us grace, and he gave us hope. And he comforts him, as he's saying, "I will comfort my people." Our God is a God that comforts us in our grief. And we know and believe that the Lord is our strength and our song, as Isaiah was saying to the people Israel. There will be a future time when the remnant will return. Those that have been true to the Lord will be okay. Times will get tough. Times were tough. They were going to go into captivity, but yet the Lord would be with them. and that they need to be secure in the fact knowing that the Lord is their salvation, as we are secure in the fact that Jesus has saved us, and nothing can take that away from us. Nothing. No government, no ideology, nothing can take that away. And that through all this, we are to give praise and glory unto the Lord. It is Yahweh, it is the Lord God, who loves us, saves us, sustains us, and is with us every minute of every day. Think about that. Every person in this world knows and can know the presence of the Lord through faith. Every person, every second, every minute, every day of every year, the Lord is with us. Is that not amazing? Think about it. You know, when you think all of us here, the Lord knows you down to your very DNA. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're going through. And he's there to comfort you. I've said before, and I say this many times to people, I said, you know, the way that the Lord expects us to live in honoring him is if there was a recording of your life, would you be able to show it to your mother? I'm not sure about my early days, but I'd be okay with it now. But this is great news, isn't it? That the Lord takes anything that we have done that is not pleasing to him or to others, and that's gone through faith. It's gone. It's not recorded. It's not remembered. It's cast out. It's obliterated. It's gone. And that is great news. A scripture from Isaiah begins today with, in that day, you will say. In that day, that future day for Israel that was coming, when the remnant will return to the land from captivity. But in that day for us is in this day. In this day, the Lord has promised us that there will be a future day. But in this day, the Spirit is alive. He's in us. He's working through us, and he's present with us. Today is the day we can trust him for everything, for all that we have, all we can do, and for everybody in our life. We can trust him for them. This is the day that the Lord has given us power and greatness through the Holy Spirit. Today is the day that the Lord is in charge. I think we need to remember that. You know, one thing that I am a news junkie. I'll admit it. I am addicted to a couple of news stations. And there are times when I just have to shut it off because I get the adrenaline starts pumping and I'm worried and I get nervous and I get excited. But then I pull back and I say to myself, but the Lord is in charge. In this day, this is all God's and he's going to take care of it. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. And that's what we need to remember. We are always his people, his children, and he's looking out for us, and it's going to be okay. And we need to trust him, and we need to hold fast to him, because in this day, we can say that the Lord has freed us from ourselves, of any ungodly tendencies, and he has freed us from sin. Amen? Amen. The Lord is our Savior. Isaiah 12:2, our scripture today says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. To the people Israel, this was heartening news because they knew they were in trouble. They knew they had sinned against the Lord. And Isaiah was telling them, someday, someone from the north is going to come and take you into captivity. They were rebellious people. They trusted in other gods. They thought they knew better than God. Is that sometimes how we are? You know, sometimes are we thinking, well, God doesn't really get what I'm going through. He's not up to date or however it is we feel, but God gets it. God understands. And the Lord is always there saying, I'm here. I'm present. I'm on duty. I'm on watch. You can sleep. You can rest in me. You know, our rebellion today, especially in Western culture, is that there's a very anti-God, anti-biblical, and anti-lifestyle going on. We know that. And much of Western society today is calling evil good and good evil. But in this day, God is saying, I know and you know what is right and what is good and what is holy and what is just. Follow that, and the Lord, and you will be blessed. Trust in Jesus every time, even when it looks dark, even when life looks like, am I ever going to get through this? Keep trusting in him. There's a story about a man by the name of John Sala. John Sala was sent to prison in Avon Park, Florida, a number of years ago, for some very serious crimes that he committed in this state: grand theft, aggravated assault, and attempted murder of a police officer. While in prison, he met a chaplain by the name of Warren B. Wall, who shared the good news of the gospel with John. And John was curious, and he dove right in, and he read the Bible, and he accepted Christ and immersed himself in every opportunity to live as a Christian. Assigned to the tape ministry of the chapel in the prison, he listened to Bible teachers while organizing and labeling those tapes. Then Chaplain Wall found someone willing to underwrite a seminary correspondence course for John, and he became a passionate and disciplined student of the Bible. This is what he says: God was birthing something new in me. Before, I wanted to take. Now I wanted to give. I wanted to give love. I wanted to encourage. I wanted to nurture my fellow prisoners. John also found his musical voice in prison and performed with the prison choir and local churches, singing solos and giving his testimony. And in 1983, he walked out of prison and he said, I am never coming back. I am not coming back. And he wrote a book with that title. After his release, he founded a ministry called All Things New, which was a prison ministry to inmates and their family. And years later, after marrying his wife, the ministry changed to a title called Little Lambs Incorporated, which is still functioning today, with the mission of loving inmates, helping their families, and bringing Christ to people who do not have the Lord. And because of his ministry, his correspondence courses, the visitation of people involved in his ministry, counseling, services, conference, and classes, the Salas began with approximately 100 students in 98. Today, they have 2,750 students and graduate about 250 per year. Here's a man who felt he had no hope and would spend a long time in prison, who found Christ. The Lord had him start a ministry, and now many others are coming to know Jesus because of this man. This man who knew that God loved him, who heard the call of Christ in his life, who understood that he was a sinner that needed the grace of God, and he received that, and God was glad to give it. And God had a plan for John, as he has a plan for every one of us here today, to be an ambassador for Christ to others that don't know him. John's book, I'm Not Coming Back, is now in the hands of many, many thousands of prisoners and people who desire to read it. Do each of us believe that the Lord has set us free from whatever holds us? Are there things in our lives that bind us, that the Lord says, you can be free? It has no power over you, because I have the ultimate power, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 says this, "But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." I think that's a scripture that we need to commit to memory. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been set free. By grace you are loved. By grace you are given gifts. By grace the Lord has a work for you to do. Every one of us here is an ambassador. Every one of us here holds within us the ability and the spirit to shine to other people, to let them know they are loved, they are forgiven, they are not without hope. They have the hope of Christ if they are about willing to accept it. In this day, God has not forgotten you because he is always with you, as I said earlier. And that is another thing which I think, two things we need to remember. God loves us and God is with us. If we remember nothing else, God loves you and God is with you all the time. Remember that. Put that in your heart. Isaiah 7:14, a familiar verse we often say at Christmas, which I think is for any time. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel." And Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. He loves us, and he's with us. I want to tell you a story from the Vietnam War. Navy Captain Eugene Red McDaniel found God in the torture camps of communist North Vietnam. McDaniel was raised as a Christian and attended a Christian college. While he believed in God and had a nominal faith, he writes, "I wasn't sure what I had that would qualify me for the title Christian." McDaniel gave his life to Christ after meeting his future wife, Dorothy Howard. Her father was a Baptist minister, and after spending time with the two of them, McDaniel realized what they had was good as gold. He walked forward to the altar, made his real commitment as a Christian, but doesn't remember much of a big splash after that. It was only later in his darkest moments that McDaniel learned the totality of what it was all about to be in him, to be in Christ. On May 19, 1967, McDaniel and his A-6 jet were shot down off to North Vietnam. He rejected and took refuge in a tree and thought he was being rescued. His hope soared as the rescue helicopters were above him, but they couldn't get him. And he ended up in the hands of North Vietnamese soldiers and civilians who drove him to Hanoi, kicking him, screaming at him the whole way. He was imprisoned in the Hanoi Hilton for a long time with cockroach-infested cells. He wasn't given medical treatment. He didn't get to sleep, and he was tortured for many, many days. He lost the use of his right hand, and he had nothing to look forward to but torture. And he states in his own testimony, "My faith in God had taken a nosedive." As the torture continued, he knew that death could come at any time. "There was something, some part of my spiritual life not yet complete. If I had to face tomorrow in the torture room, when death would not come, when the pain would be so bad that death would be easier, would I smile then?" For 60 more days, six more days, he was denied any sleep, lived in dirty rags, and was just continued to be tortured, and he welcomed death. But then in the midst of all this, he realized, you know, I had it good back in the first days of my Christian life, but I had never been tested by pain as he had been, and that there was a dimension of my life that was missing, and it was tied directly to my faith.
At his lowest possible moment, McDaniel prayed, "I knew that if I didn't do something, reveal something myself to me, I could not make it." And in his own feeble way, he said to the Lord, "Lord, it's all yours, whatever this means, whatever it is supposed to accomplish for me, whatever you have in mind now, it's all yours." He remained in prison until 1973, and there were other beatings and other torture. However, through all of that, he knew that God was not far outside. If I had to go on with this nightmare, then I knew he was with me. Nothing else mattered. God was with me. You know, that's an amazing testimony from someone who called himself a Christian, but didn't truly know what it really meant until he faced the really most difficult times in his life, when he was alone and he was tortured and he was pained. He cried out to God. God was there with him, and God certainly answered his prayer and gave him the will to survive that, and he came home. He came home to family and friends. The presence of God was real even in the midst of that torture. And as I think about that story, I think about our own lives. When there are things that we go through, whether it be illnesses, whether it be challenges in life, or the things we have experienced in the past, we wondered at the time, where was God in all that? And we knew, and all along, God was there with us if we but cry out and call upon him. It says in Romans 8:35 through 39, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." That's a long scripture, but if you were to kind of condense it down, it would say, God is always here. God is always here. Let us pray. Oh Lord, when we just think of your most holy name, the Lord God who saves us and gives us hope, brings us love, grants us salvation. You are here. You are with us. You never abandon us. You never forsake that. Even when Jesus was going to be with you up his ascension, he said, "I am with you always, and I will send the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, to be God's presence in your life." Lord, we just take that away today, that you are here. You are present. You are with us, and you are in us. And for that, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Final.